Welcome to the podcast for Sound the Trumpet, How to Blow Your Own Horn, written by Jonathan Harnum and read by me, John Harnum. Thanks for listening. You can learn more about this book and my other books at allabouttrumpet.com. There you'll also find free video lessons, a whole bunch of free PDFs with scales and lesson plans and lesson tracking and all kinds of other stuff. There are also some free MP3s related to this book. And there's also a store for many things trumpet related, including more method books, recordings, all kinds of gear for playing. So go have a visit. There's lots of free stuff there. And we'll see you online. This podcast covers Chapter 11, Trumpet Tuning Tips. I don't care too much about music. What I like is sounds. Dizzy Gillespie, 1917 to 1993. This chapter covers tuning basics, tuning the whole horn, things that can affect the pitch of the trumpet, the role of your left hand trigger in tuning, and also covers chronically out of tune notes and how to fix them. Some terms to know. One is tuning slide. This is the largest slide on the trumpet. It's used to tune the whole horn. Flat in this context means slightly below the correct pitch. Sharp means slightly above the correct pitch. Of course, this is different than a sharp and a flat for a note, which indicates you're lowering that note by a half step. This is a different kind of flat and sharp. Intonation is the accuracy of pitch between two instruments, or between you and other instruments, basically. Ledger lines are small lines used above or below a staff for notes beyond the range of the staff. And you can have line notes and space notes with ledger lines as well, just like a regular staff. Concert pitch is an international tuning pitch of A440. That's 440 hertz, I believe. That's an A. It's also used sometimes to refer to instruments that are written in concert pitch. For example, flute, piano, guitar, trombone, tuba, oboe, violin, most of the strings. Anyway, so concert pitch, that music is written in C, or in concert pitch. So, what's tuning all about? Sound is made up of invisible waves of vibration, right? Everybody knows this. So when two or more instruments create sound, these waves, of course, they mix together. And if these waves aren't synchronized so that the sound vibrates at a similar or complementary wavelength, then we experience this as being out of tune. This is kind of a simplification of what's actually happening, but it works. And the more sensitive you are to intonation, the more uncomfortable and even unpleasant a listening experience can be if the music is out of tune. And on the other hand, if things are in tune, a performance can be an incredible, even a magical experience. So this intonation thing is really important. And from the perspective of a performer, it's much easier to play and to really get into the music if everyone's in tune. When you're perfectly in tune, the sound takes on this presence and a power that's just not there when the intonation is bad. The best musicians take intonation very seriously, and so should you. So it makes music much more beautiful and much more fun. Basic trumpet tuning. The pitch of any wind instrument is a factor of length. The longer a wind instrument is, the lower its sound will be. So if you compare the lengths of, say, a trumpet and a tuba, you can see what I'm talking about. Tuba is much longer than a trumpet. It also has a larger diameter, so that's also another factor. When you tune an instrument, you're changing its pitch very slightly. And this is done by either shortening or lengthening the instrument a small amount. And for brass instruments like trumpet, this is done with a tuning slide. Now, this is different than a trombone slide, which is actually changing the notes of the horn. It's a similar principle, though. The tuning slide, and trombones also have tuning slides, doesn't move very quickly, and that's a good thing. So, try this. Pull the tuning slide out, and the pitch gets lower and lower as the instrument gets longer. You can hear this. Push it in, and the pitch goes higher as the instrument gets shorter. And so do some experimenting with your tuning slide. Pull it almost all the way off and play a note, or pull it all the way off. That's kind of fun, too. won't be in tune, but pull it almost all the way off and play a note. And as you're playing, push the slide in and listen to the sound and see if you can hear it getting higher. And how small of a difference are you able to hear in pushing that in? Can you hear, say, I don't know, an inch difference? Can you hear an eighth of an inch? 16th? Can you hear a millimeter? So you can do the same thing as you're pushing it in too. So if you're unable to move the slide, there's some troubleshooting you can do. That's on page 160 in cleaning the chapter called Clean Up Your Axe, which I haven't read yet, but you can find it online. If your slides are stuck, you should probably take care of this right now because tuning is really important and you're not going to be able to do it without working slides. And some of the stuff in this chapter is just not going to be relevant if you can't move your slides. So figure out how to fix that. So when you move the tuning slide, you're changing the pitch of the entire horn, like I said. If you trace the path of the air through the horn, you'll see that it always goes past the tuning slide, which is at the end of the lead pipe, before it gets redirected by the valves. Most trumpets are naturally a little bit sharp if the tuning slide's pushed all the way, and they're naturally a little bit sharp, a little high in pitch. So the tuning slide should be pulled out slightly whenever you play, and this is all the time. And it depends on the instrument that you're playing, how, you know, the exact amount that should be, but you get the idea, right? You don't want to guess about this. Like I said, you want to be specific. And in order to do this, you need a tuner. And there are many different types out there. Be careful you don't buy a guitar tuner because they only tune six specific notes, the notes on the guitar, E, A, D, G, B, E. You want a chromatic tuner that will read any pitch. And you also want one that has an analog indication of pitch, a little arm that changes as your pitch changes. That way you can watch when your pitch actually shifts. If the arm falls to the left, that means you're flat. If it rises to the right, you're sharp. And if you're right at zero, your pitch is right in tune. So if you're going flat, if that arm indicator is going to the left, that means that your instrument is flat. So you need to pull in the tuning slide to make your instrument shorter to pull that pitch up, and vice versa for the other. If you're sharp, you have to pull out. So before you tune, make sure you and the horn are warmed up. This is one of the things that can affect the pitch, especially the temperature of the horn. When you tune your horn, pick an open note with no vowels down for tuning. G is a pretty good choice because it's low in the range and easy to play, and it tends to be in tune all by itself, unlike some of the other notes we're going to touch on later. When you tune, you want to be warmed up, relaxed, and blowing freely without any strain. This will give you a correct reading on the pitch. And so just play G into the tuner, and some tuners will show the letter name of the note. You'll notice that when you play the G, the tuner will tell you that it's an F. Well, don't worry about this. Trumpet is not what in what's called concert pitch, which I mentioned earlier. Trumpet is called a B-flat instrument, and there's a chapter that deals with all of that, but don't worry about that right now. But if you do see an F on your tuner when you play a G, that's okay. That's as it should be. In fact, any note that you play on the trumpet, the letter note that the tuner will show will be one letter before that, if that makes sense. If it doesn't, it will someday. So sometimes you'll adjust the pitch with your chops automatically, and this will give you an incorrect reading. So to avoid this when you're working with the tuner, close your eyes and just play the note. Just play relaxed with the flowing air, and when the note is steady, open your eyes and look at the tuner. And this will give you a better reading, a more accurate reading, than just watching the tuner as you play, because we tend to change that, shift that ourselves, which is kind of cool. How the pitch can change. So in the above tuning exercises, you tune the trumpet to the note G on the second line of the staff. And technically, this means that only the G is in tune at this moment. All the other notes of the trumpet might be out of tune for many reasons. The most common reason a trumpet will go out of tune is that the horn isn't fully warmed up. Because sound waves travel faster at warmer temperatures, as the horn warms up, there's a rise in frequency, which is the same as a rise in pitch, also known as going sharp. Other reasons the pitch might change are improper breath support, very loud dynamics, very soft dynamics, high in the range, low in the range, how tired your lips are. There's lots of factors. I've also heard that when the horn warms up, the inside diameter of the horn shrinks a little bit. Because the metal is expanding. This may also have some impact. So try some of these things with your tuner. So play a G and watch a tuner. You know, it should be in tune at first. And then close your eyes and play as loudly as you can. And don't worry if you get this, you know, spreading, splitting sort of nasty tone. But just play as loud as you can. Before you run out of air, open your eyes and check the tuner. And listen to your sound when you're doing this to see if you can hear which way it goes. So which way did it go? Try it out. Do the same exercise again, and this time keep your eyes open as you get louder, and keep the little arm centered on the zero. And listen to your sound, and just keep it centered on that same pitch. That's more important than doing it with a tuner. Just listen to the sound and focus on it and keep it the same. So do the same thing again, but this time playing really softly. How did the pitch change when you played softly? And were you able to compensate for that? So here's some basic tendencies. High pitches tend to be sharp. So if you play high in your range, how does the pitch change up there? Most players are sharp in their upper register. This can be caused by a few things, the most common being mouthpiece pressure, especially pressure on your top lip. Some players tuck their chin down and in when playing high and point the bell of the trumpet up. Sometimes we stretch the lips and use more of a smile embouchure when playing higher. These habits also cause the pitch to rise. So to fix these problems, you have to keep your head level, lower your bell slightly. You might not like how this feels at first because you're not used to it. You might even lose a couple notes from your upper range, but that's okay. You'll have a much better, fuller sound on the notes you can play, and they'll be much more in tune. So hold the corners of your lips down and in, so also fatten up your tone a little bit. And practice upper notes with the tuner. Sing them, get help from your trumpet teacher. There's a chapter on higher notes on the trumpet because you're also doing some stuff with your tongue that helps quite a bit. But those are the embouchure things that you want to think about. Low pitches, on the other hand, tend to be flat. Most players are flat down low in their range, usually because not enough lip is vibrating inside the mouthpiece. I mean, it could be a bunch of reasons. The very best thing you can do is to sing the notes before you play them, and this is true for high pitches too. Use a piano or your tuner to get the correct pitch, and a lot of tuners actually will generate a pitch for you to hear. But if you can sing the note in tune, often your body will automatically fix the pitch of the note. It's pretty amazing. But if you can sing it, if you can get that tone in your ear, that will help a lot in almost all cases. So a few other things that will help raise those low pitches. Use soft, slow, warm air low in your range. Pretend you're making steam come out of your mouth on a cold day. Say, like that. Keep the volume soft at first to stabilize the pitch. And to raise the pitch slightly, shape your oral cavity with the E vowel, like E in the back of your throat. And just practice low notes with your tuner and listen and see if you can make them get in tune. You know, of course, get help from your trumpet teacher, for sure. So the left hand's role in tuning is important. Another way to change the intonation of the trumpet is with the slides that are connected to valves 1 and valve 3. So valve 1 is your thumb, and valve 3 is your ring finger, or it could be your pinky, it could be your middle finger, it depends on which one you're using in the trigger. Most trumpets have triggers on these slides, and the triggers are used to move the slides in and out. If your hand is loose and relaxed, you'll be able to move these slides more quickly, as long as they're clean, of course. They need to be clean and moving pretty freely for this. You're often making these motions very quickly as you pass quickly through a note. So they should move pretty fast. And if you don't have triggers at all, it's not too big of an issue if you're a beginner, but if you start to play with other people and you're serious about playing, you really should consider getting a trumpet that has those triggers because it allows you to play much more easily in tune, especially with the out-of-tune notes on the trumpet, which we're going to get to in just a second. So if you don't have triggers, go to your local music store and see if they'll weld some on. It's a pretty simple procedure, so that's definitely one option. So to get your slides zipping in and out with ease, you want to be sure they're clean and greased with slide grease. I often add a drop of valve oil to each prong of the slide, and while I'm moving the slide in and out, that works the oil in and gets it moving pretty quickly. I do this just one drop at a time, not more than two or three drops. If you need more than that, there's something wrong probably. One of the things that you can do as a very last resort is to use steel wool, a steel wool pad to buff the slide. This is actually taking metal off the slide, so you'd be very careful about this because you can take too much and then your horn's going to leak and nobody's going to be happy. If you do decide to do this, just keep in mind, like I said, too much scrubbing could ruin it, so just be careful. Give each prong of the slide 4 to 6 passes with the steel wool, kind of a medium pressure. And each time you do this, use the same number of strokes for each prong of the slide. This is important to keep it balanced. So when you're done scrubbing it, lube it up, pop it back in, check the action. If it's still stiff, repeat it, this process, until it's not. And don't do, use your judgment. Don't do too many passes with the steel wool. Better to be a little bit tight tightly sealed and stiff than to be really quick and not so tightly sealed. I hope that makes sense. So to avoid the hassle and the risk, just take it to an instrument repair person. You know, that's always a good option. So there are some notes that are chronically out of tune on trumpet. Even if your horn is perfectly warmed up and perfectly in tune, you still have to tune some individual notes. This is because there are certain notes on the trumpet that are chronically out of tune, like I said. A trumpet is built so that as many notes as possible are in tune, but this leaves a few notes permanently out of whack. And this is especially true with our equal tempered tuning system. You can find more about that. Just Google it. So some overtones in a brass tube are naturally out of tune anyway, and that's kind of what we're dealing with here. So the good news is that they're all pretty easy to fix. So we're going to start with the sharp notes. The first and the worst out of tune note on the trumpet is the low D flat, also known as the C sharp. It's the D flat, of course, is the note just below the staff, just hanging underneath that bottom line with a flat in front of it. And a C sharp is the first ledger line below the staff, a line note with a sharp in front of it. These are enharmonic notes, of course, and you can learn more about that in the music theory book I wrote. You can find that at allabouttrumpet.com or on this blog page. For now, just know that both notes have the same fingering and the same pitch, C sharp, D flat, 1, 2, and 3. Because it's more common, I'm going to call this pitch C sharp from here on. If your horn's generally in tune, check the low C sharp with your tuner. Is it sharp or flat? So go do that. You probably noticed, I hope you noticed anyway, that this is a sharp pitch, very high in pitch. And before I show you an easy way to fix this, try to get the little arm to zero with your chops alone. Just move the pitch of the instrument lower with your chops. So this takes a little work. There are going to be some tips coming up on how to do this better. Page 128. The slide coming off the third valve is called the third valve slide, so no big surprise, right? You'll use this slide to get that C sharp in tune. You can also use the first valve slide, first valve slide too. Because the note is sharp, you need to make the trumpet a little bit longer to lower the pitch. So play the C sharp, watch the tuner, and extend the third valve slide out until the tuner says it's in tune. The exact amount your slide should extend depends on your horn. Use the middle or third finger to extend the slide, whichever you normally have in the fingering. And if your hands are really small, or you don't want to move it as far, you can also use the thumb trigger on the first valve slide. So you just have to judge by the tuner when it's in tune, judge how much you have to use to get the note in tune. So remember, though, you should do this every time you play a C sharp. Anytime you play a C-sharp that's the one down low on the staff, like first ledger lined, or the D-flat, you gotta use the C-sharp. If you watch players that play, even when they're playing quickly, they'll kick those slides where they're needed. So every time, just get in the habit of doing it every time, and you never have to stop to think about it. Now, you don't need to extend the slide for any 1, 2, and 3 valve combination, okay? It's just this one. So the low F-sharp, for example, is 1, 2, and 3. You don't need the slides for that one. So just use your ears and listen for your intonation and work with the tuner. So some horns also have a slide stop on them. This can be handy because when you find exactly where your C-sharp is in tune using the third valve slide, you can set the screws at that spot. And when you kick the slide out, it'll stop exactly where it should be. So that can be handy. So the next worst out of tune note is the low D. It's also out of tune, but not quite so much as C-sharp. It's also sharp. If you check it with the tuner, you'll see this. It is the note that is resting just below the staff, hanging below that bottom line. So you fix the D with the same technique you use to fix the C-sharp. Because you're using first and third valve, you can use either thumb or the ring finger to kick those slides out. And again, kick it out till it's in tune. Check the tuner to see exactly where that is. And every time you play that low D, kick the slide out. That way, you can make these out-of-tune notes become in tune without using your chops. This helps save your face, which is good. So just make it a habit. The next two notes we're going to deal with are the first line E, fingered first and second valve, and the second space A, also first and second valve. So just like before, check these two notes with your tuner and try to lip them into tune. I mean, it's best to do this without listening to the information first, but whatever, you can do it any way you want. You'll see that these notes are also sharp, but only a little bit. So they're not going to need as much change as the previous notes did. In fact, you can probably do this with your chops and be fine. These notes occur a little more often. If you're holding one out for a long time, this is an option. It might be sharp, so you can use your slides to tune it much more precisely. So go ahead and play with your tuner with those notes, and you know, of course, make sure you're in tune first, and see if you can get those in tune with the triggers. So there are also some flat notes on trumpet. The flat notes are flat because of the way the universe works, believe it or not. The harmonic series is a series of pitches called partials, often, that have special relationships between them. I'm not going to get into details here, but like Pythagoras and his strings, dividing strings in certain ratios. Also, another really interesting read is called On the Sensations of Tone by Herman Helmholtz. And links to that stuff is at the bottom of this podcast page. So anyway, a partial is one of the notes of the harmonic series. So for example, the low C on trumpet and the second line G are the second and third partials for the open valve combination on the trumpet. The first partial is a pedal tone, so we're going to get to pedal tones later. The fifth partial of the harmonic series occurs naturally a little lower than we like to hear it. So the notes we'll be fixing, in this case, are the fifth partial of the harmonic series on the trumpet. And there are several different fingerings in that fifth partial. So that may have been overkill. My apologies. But all you really need to know is that the D, the E flat, and the E at the top of the staff, so this is the fourth line, the fourth space, and again the fourth space for the E natural. These are all slightly flat. So by now, you know the drill. Make sure your horn is warmed up and generally in tune. And then check these notes with the tuner to see how flat they actually are. Now, to fix these notes, we can't use the slides because slides only allow us to lower the pitch because we're lengthening the instrument. We need to raise the pitch of these notes. So there's a few things you can do. The first, and I think the best thing to do, is to sing the note perfectly in tune. Find a piano, use your tuner, whatever you need to generate the correct pitch. Sing the note and really internalize that sound. Get it so you can just sing it out and get it so you can hear it in your head. So now play and match that pitch that you're hearing and singing. So here are some techniques to actually raise the pitch on the horn. You can use the shape of the oral cavity of your mouth to raise the pitch. If you use the E shape inside of your mouth, the raised tongue will help raise the pitch. Check with your tuner and see if that's enough. If not, try playing a bit softer and focus in with the corners of your mouth. This helps focus the notes better. Raise your eyebrows. Strange as it may seem, this actually can help. Just check your tuner. And then you can also use alternate fingerings, which is very common. I use that a lot with the E on the fourth space. It tends to be very flat for me. So I have the alternate fingerings here. The E alternate fingering is 1 and 2. In fact, the E has more alternate fingerings than any other note in the on the instrument, which makes it a really fun note. But the one that'll help you with the intonation is 1 and 2. The E flat is 2 and 3, and the D is 1 and 3. So a benefit of using these alternate fingerings, especially if they're sharp, is that then you can use the triggers to change the pitch if you need it. So again, use the tuner and mess with the tuner. So you can also change the pitch, like I've been mentioning, without the tuning slide or the finger slides. And you could probably do this without any instruction. Just play a G into the tuner and make the pitch go lower. It's called pitch bending. Can you do it? Think about what you did to make it work. How low can you make a note go before it drops down to the one below it? How slowly can you bend a note? Try a different note and make it go lower too. You know, how low can you make each of the notes in your range go before they break to the lower note? And how slowly can you do it? Now, if you can't get the pitch to change at all, try lowering your jaw, loosening the muscles at the corners of your mouth. Use a very deep sound to make the oral cavity as big as you can. Use a breathing tube if you still have it, and remember that. And focus your air downward. That may help. So just like with Lipsler's, changing the pitch upward is more challenging than lowering the pitch. Take the same G and try to make the needle of the tuner move to the right or sharp. So can you do it without any instruction? You know, think about what you're doing and see if you can describe it. You'll notice how more difficult it is. I'm sure you'll notice that. So a couple things to help get that pitch to rise. You can speed up the air faster air. Again, shape the oral cavity using the E syllable. Tighten the muscles at the corner of your mouth and focus your air upward. It's like an upward slur just before the lower note skips to the next higher note. And as before, see how much you can bend it up before it pops to the note above it. So bending the pitch up or down is a valuable skill to have because it allows you to fine-tune the trumpet. You can use the skill when you're playing with others and need to quickly get a note in tune. You can use it to bend the pitch of the note while playing like an improvised solo. Someone that's adept at pitch bending can make the trumpet sound like a voice. It's just amazing, some players that do this. Lee Morgan comes to mind immediately. But pitch bending is also helpful when you're tuning the trumpet without a tuner, and we're going to cover this next. So practice pitch bending when you can, and you'll be able to bend the pitch of any note up and down. A good book for this, and I'll put this in the links below, is James Stamp. There's an exercise at the back of the James Stamp book that's really good for pitch bending. So tuning without a tuner, you know, aren't always going to have it with you. So, for example, when an orchestra tunes up, the oboe player plays an A 440, like I mentioned earlier, and the orchestra tunes to that note. In a concert or symphonic band, it's often the tuba player who sets the tuning note, or the oboe player, if there is one, usually a concert B-flat, which is open for many brass instruments, and the rest of the group tunes to that note. Tuning to another instrument is much different than tuning to a tuner. It takes much more awareness of pitch. And for these reasons, it's both better and worse to tune in this way. It's better because tuning to another instrument will force you to listen very, very carefully. It's worse because it's a lot harder to do, and the person you're tuning to might not be perfectly in tune themselves. But if there's just two of you, it doesn't really matter. It's all relative. So again, sound is vibration, and to show this vibration visually, we use a wave shape, a wave formation. So when you're out of tune, the sound waves of two instruments interfere with each other. This produces a periodic repeating fluctuation in the intensity of the sound. There's beats in the sound. And if you're in tune, the waves match up perfectly, the sound waves, if you see a physical representation of this. And the sounds blend together. If the sound is made by two like instruments, say two trumpets, with similar timbres, their tones blend so much that they sound like one instrument. It's pretty cool. And there's a representation of this in the book, which you can't see. But it shows instrument one, instrument two, and their sine waves. And then combined, there's an extra sine wave that shows the beats in the sound. So these beats in the sound, if you're not listening, used to listening for it, the beats in an out-of-tune sound can be difficult to hear. If you know any guitar players, this is often a very simple and easy way to hear those beats in the tone as the guitar player will tune one string to another. As they get close, you can hear this wah, 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 wah. You can hear this kind of wavering in the sound, and then once it's in tune, that flattens out. If you heard a guitar player tune, you've heard this. Another thing you can do is difference tones. So you need a partner, one preferably who plays the same instrument as you. You could probably record yourself and do this too. If that's not possible, try for a partner whose instrument is in the same range as trumpet, like clarinet, oboe, viola, alto. Any of those would be good choices. You're interested in playing a fourth, a perfect fourth. This is going to be weird if you don't use similar instruments, especially if you're dealing with a saxophone because you have to transpose. But you're looking for a fourth. I'm just going to talk to you in trumpet notes because that's what the instrument is. So you can also use a piano if you play an F. The white key just to the left of three black keys in the middle of the keyboard. So if you use a tuner separately, and make sure you're both exactly in tune first if you're doing it with someone else, of course. Otherwise, it's going to be impossible. So once you're both in tune, play the same note together, and you notice how well the sounds blend, right? Especially if you're playing with another trumpet player. And again, record yourself, track that way. So now one of you, preferably you, will go out of tune. Push your tuning slide all the way in. Play the same note together again, or with yourself if you're using a recording. And this time you should be able to hear the beats in the sound. And the beats are there, so listen really hard for them if you can't hear them. If you still can't hear them after a few tries, pull your slide out further than in tune and try again. And if you still can't hear the beats, they're there, I guarantee you. Pull the slide out further. You know, if you still can't hear the beats, keep trying. The beats are there, but it takes really careful listening to hear them. Just keep trying and you'll get it. Could be that your partner is unconsciously matching your pitch too. I hope that's not the case. Using the recording, of course, you don't have that problem. So So you can fix this by ear. You're still going to be with a partner or with a recording, and you're each going to play the same note. So push your slide all the way in and listen for those beats, and just listen for them, even if you can't hear them. But as you're playing, bend the pitch downward slowly, and if you can hear the beats, you hear the beats slow down and eventually disappear as you get in tune. This is because as you bend the pitch downward, you gradually make the sound waves match frequencies, and the beats slow down and then disappear. They flatten out, and this is being in tune. You might bend the pitch too far downward, and in this case, the beats will slow down and disappear as you're in tune, then start up again as you go beyond where the notes are in tune. So listen for this and try to do that too. Take turns. So you can go the other way, of course, too. Get yourself in tune and then push the slide in. You know, whatever. Use your imagination. But in both of those experiments, you know exactly which way to bend the pitch to get the horn in tune because you just were in tune and you pull the slide so you know you're low, et cetera, right? But in real life, you're not going to know unless you hear it, you know, really, you hear really well and you're going to hear it quickly. This is where pitch bending comes in handy. If you can't hear which way to go to get in tune, just guess. I mean, I do this all the time. I wish I had better ears, but I do it all the time. If I know I'm out of tune and I can't quite hear which way it is, I'm going to bend the pitch down first to see if it gets better. And if it gets worse, I know that I need to, I need to not go lower. I need to go higher. So I'll push my slide in. So if you're out of tune, just try bending the pitch down and listen to hear if it gets better. If the beats get slower and disappear, then lower is the way to go, and you need to pull your slide out. If the beats speed up as you get lower, like I mentioned, that's not the way to go, and you should push the slide in. So just continue this until an easily blown, relaxed note is in tune with whatever you're tuning to. So it's easiest to hear whether you're in tune when it's just you and another instrument. If you're in a band or orchestra with many people getting in tune at once, it's much more difficult to hear yourself. So in this case, you have to focus intensely on the instrument playing the in-tune pitch. You're going to be able to hear your instrument inside your head, so that helps. But you must also focus intensely on your own sound and that other sound and ignore the other people playing around you. You know, if you put your finger in one ear, you're going to be able to hear yourself a little better. This isn't the great way to tune, but it works. If you have the time, especially before performance, warm up your horn and tune yourself individually with a tuner. A short word about difference tones. This is another really great experiment to do with another trumpet player. One of you plays a C on the third space. The other plays an F on the top line. This is really important for you to be in tune. So play the notes with a full tone and a loud volume. If you're in tune, you're going to hear another note ring in your ear. If you're not in tune, all you'll hear will be this buzzing noise, kind of a rattle almost. So one of the players, if you hear this rattle, has to lip his or her note up or down to find where the intonation is good. And when you're in tune, you'll know it because you'll hear this extra note. It's called a difference tone. To learn more about this, you can go to, well, it's this giant long HTML. I'll put this in the links at the bottom of the page. So difference tones are really cool. You have to be really well in tune to get that difference tone. And this is also a good example of how when all the instruments are beautifully in tune, the sound has more presence. It's bigger because these other frequencies also resonate in tune. So intonation is really important. Up next, you know, you want to practice these intonation skills every chance you get because it takes time to master them. But playing in tune is a valuable thing, you know, it's a really valuable thing to learn. So once you learn this and can automatically play in tune, everyone who plays with you will really appreciate your intonation. Up next, we're going to learn about a special technique used to play very low notes. These are called, they're so low, they're not officially part of the trumpet range used in most written music. They're called pedal tones. And this is after the pedals of an organ, I'm guessing. I think that's right. So why learn such low notes if they aren't used? That's a good question. Pedal tones will help you in a bunch of ways. And to find that out, either read the chapter or stay tuned for the next podcast. Thanks for listening. Remember that you can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes or on my blog. And again, you can reach those at allabouttrumpet.com.